When I was writing this, the older you get, the more you learn. You really are honest with yourself. And there's some parts of your life that you realize you have never shared because maybe they're too emotional or too just almost holy. That it's part of your life you can't share very easily. And when I was doing this talk, what I felt led to talk about got very emotional in my own spirit at times. But I hope you can relate. And I want to tell this to some parents here today. My sister was here last week, and a few years ago back, I did Mother's Day, and I did my Pentecostal heritage and talked about my great-grandmother, how she got in Pentecost. And I read it to my sister for some reason. She wasn't here, and she said, "Oh, Debbie, I've got to have a copy of that. I've got to have a copy of that." I want to encourage you parents. I want you to write down especially your spiritual journey for your children to read one day, because it will be a treasure for them to always hold on to. I would like to give honor today to my mother. As many of you know, she's had hip replacement surgery about a month ago, and I've been in Nashville a couple of times during her recovery. One day when she was dressing herself for the day while I was preparing lunch, I could hear her singing. Suddenly, the warmth of childhood memories filled my heart. I thought, that's the same sweet voice I heard as a baby as she rocked me, when she washed her clothes or when she cooked for me. And after all these years, Mama still has her song. What a testimony to me and my family. Yes, she's lost many close loved ones, including her beloved Billy, of almost 57 years of marriage. But her song is still there. It is good, especially for mamas, to have a song because it shows she's happy. And if we all know, if mama's happy and if she's not happy, ain't nobody happy. And today is Mother's Day, but the topic could very well be spoken on Father's Day because it applies especially to my father as much as anyone. It applies to the old, the young, the singles, the teenagers, the children, both sexes and all races. It is a gift from God. It can be used as a weapon to defeat Satan, give praise and honor to our Savior, or even be a witness to others. It will drive out depression, and it will renew your mind. One of the main reasons I think Satan tries to downplay its importance is that it is one of the greatest weapons I know against fear. It calms you and everyone around you. It reassures you that God is in control, and although things aren't like you wish, everything's going to be all right. Last Sunday, Sister Lisa encouraged you not to give up on your dream, but you need a song in your heart to have the mindset to pursue your dream. Music has always been present in God's people and God's church. In Ephesians 5:19-20, we are exhorted to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing is mentioned 121 times in the Bible. It is the most recorded of all commandments. The count rises to 209 if you use the New English Version. Oh, you might say, Sister Sue, I really don't care for music like you. You were just raised in Music City, USA. But I think the key phrase in this verse is sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't matter what kind of music you like. Your style will probably be very different from your neighbor's, but just keep your song in your heart. My favorite choir members were two people who I don't even think could sing beautifully, probably, but their countenance showed such joy they were a blessing to those in the audience and around them. Their names were Ed and Betty Frost. How many remember them? They were an older couple, and today they sing in the heavenly choir, and they're cheering us on. The Bible tells us in Psalm 65:13 that the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. I have never heard that. So the nature sings. Some of the world's most famous singers and songwriters, such as Dottie Rambeau and Dolly Parton, and singing mothers. They never had a stage, but their audience were their children. You may not be a Maria Von Trapp like in The Sound of Music, but your sweet voice like hers can drive away the fears of time. My favorite hymn of all times is, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust him at his word." And the chorus goes, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I've proved you o'er and o'er." Pastor Danielle says she always sings that when she's afraid. She probably heard her mother sing it as a child. On Mother's Day, a few years ago, I gave you a spiritual heritage I had dug into on both sides of my family, and how unknown to even my parents, how my great-grandmother on my mother's side had helped establish in Pentecost my dad's brother and his wife. Because one woman, Sister Larissa, she's here, this just fits you somehow, because one woman, she took a stand. My great-grandmother, Mama Gully, she stepped out for Jesus. My grandchildren are sixth-generation seekers of Jesus. Today, I want to share with you how the song that was given to Fanny Gully in 1929 is still being passed on 87 years later. I am the oldest child of four children born to Bill and Dorothy Smithson, who both served Jesus before marriage, and they were a great team after marriage, always working for the kingdom of God. And weren't we a pair? We were something. I can't remember never hearing the song. Maybe your life was not so blessed, so you, like Grandma Gully, can make a big difference in generations. I remember all four of us getting in our Ford Galaxy car and heading to church. That's what we look forward to every week, and I hope that's what your children look forward to. I thought the other day, I had a real fancy aunt, and she was big in society, and she was a wonderful woman, but she never understood me, especially. And I remember being one time at a fundraiser for the private school my brothers went to. The girls had to go to public school, but we won't go there. But the boys went to a private school, and I was telling my mother, I said, "Come on, you said we'd leave. It's revival, and we're missing it. We're missing it." And my aunt looked at me, and she said, "You are the most disgusting child I've ever met. I have never known anyone to love church like you." And you know, I'm so glad I was disgusting in that way. You don't hear many people say that, but I look back and I think, I just always look forward to church. That was my life. We went to my uncle's church in Franklin, Tennessee, and it was just about 5 miles from our small house. At the front door, my father would get a piece of paper and ask us all to deposit our gum because he had never allowed us to have it in God's house. Did anyone else's parents do that? The songs we sang in those days seem so different than we sing today, for as Bishop spoke a few weeks ago, times were different. The words and the style of the music may change, but the source of the music never changes. My uncle's favorite song was, "Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life." It was real spiritual. We even sang about singing. "There is within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low." And it, the chorus went, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing. He keeps me singing as I go." We always took the Sunday school offering with bringing in the sheaves. I was always confused why, as a child, we sang bringing in the cheese. I never saw anyone bring any in, but that really confused me. Then it was time for special songs. My uncle would ask Sister Stevens if she had a number. Anyone ever heard that? A number? She would always say no, but after much pleading, she would agree. We've come a long way, baby. Then Bill and Dorothy Smithson would ask if they had a number. My mother would sing melody while my dad would harmonize. And my dad would sometimes play his guitar and look at my mother's mouth the whole time she was singing because he forgot the words. But poor dad, If he could have been born in our day, he could have had them on the wall in front of him. They both sang from their hearts, though, and it was loud and strong. Pastor Jeremy once talked how my dad sang loud in church. He didn't care if you liked it or not. He was singing with his whole heart, as the Bumgardners here could testify to that. He always sat behind them when he visited. And may I say, I don't know how this happened, but I got a husband quite a bit like my dad in so many ways. We were in Cracker Barrel the other day, and we were just sitting there, and he was singing just as loud as he could. And he didn't give a rip what anyone thought. Anyway, my parents would sing a song like, "Jesus, use me. Surely there's a work that I can do, even though it's humble. Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you." As a child, through their song, they planted a desire in my heart to work for Jesus, just through a song. After church, we would head back home in our Ford Galaxy car. What do you think about that park? Would you like to have that to drive? And Dad would ask who would like some ha-ha, which was ice cream, and we'd go to Earl's Fruit Stand and get a half gallon of ice cream and some 7-Up. That was big in my day. The Harpeth River, which you've probably heard about in the song, Harpeth Valley, PTA, was next door to Earl's Fruit Stand. We would cross the bridge and go on home. One night, one of the car doors was ajar, and my brother Don fell out on the bridge. Y'all laughed. Luckily, we were going slow, and we arrived back home safely, still with our song. If you arrive home with your song with four children, you've had quite an accomplishment. And many times we carried a widow woman home by the name of Sister Polk. On the way home, my dad would tell us if he'd seen one of us talk or go in and out of church several times. And he would tell us, "You'll be disciplined when you get home." When we arrived at her house, Sister Polk would plead with Brother Smithson not to spank us. She'd say, "Oh, they're such good kids. Brother Bill, I can't get out of this car till you promise me you won't spank them." And sometimes it'd take a while because my dad never lied to you. And finally, he would agree. What a blessing she was. She helped me keep my song many a day. When my sister was born in 1960, it was discovered my mother had extreme high blood pressure and heart trouble. For the next 6 or 7 years, she would be in Vanderbilt Research Center for 6 weeks at a time, leaving four children under six with her mother, my grandmother Pennington. And if you know me very well, you know what a great influence she was in my life. One of the fondest memories as a child was hearing her sing in the kitchen while cooking, "Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us." And it was really about a railroad song. And, you know, a lot of songs were just a lot different then, and about Jesus being the captain, but how we would reach the other shore. And one day the captain took my grandma Pennington to the other shore. She would cook turnip greens, and I don't know if it's the memory of her singing or the turnip greens that made me love them always so much. But I think it was really she was bringing in the presence of the Lord in our house. And even though it was a difficult trial that she was in at the time, it was soon forgotten. Psalms 100 tells us to come before his presence with singing. She never sang a solo, I know of, but her singing praises had a lasting impression in my life. Years later, when my children were smaller, we needed a worship singer, and somehow Bishop thought I was the one. At the time, I knew of no women worship leaders. Darlene Check was not even around then, but somehow Bishop's always been ahead of the rest of us. And what I realize now is I had women worship leaders in my life, all my life, my mother and my grandmother. They had led me in worship through singing and their praises throughout the house. I remember playing church and playing like I was playing the piano. And if Brother Keith's in here, I never got past playing like I was playing. I tried, but anyway. And I would write songs that I would afterwards sing to Jesus. It was true worship I was learning at an early age. A few years ago, I had a dream that a prophet had laid his hands on my head and said, "You'll receive the gift of songwriting." I'm still waiting to see if it was too much pizza or if it was Jesus. But when I was little, I did write songs. I do know I want a new song every day in my heart to sing to the Savior of my soul. My mother was sick from the time I was 6 until I was 13. And as I grew older during this time, I realized the hurt more. Since I was the oldest, usually relatives and friends would come get the younger children, and I would stay at home to care for my dad and visit my mother with him at the hospital at night. A lot of my childhood memories, I remember being on the sidewalk below a hospital window and looking up to see my mother waving down at her 4 children. However sad, I do believe this is when the song was truly born in my life. A lot of times, your song is given in times of deep loss, through sickness, the loss of a loved one, a hurtful divorce, financial stress, or even a friend betraying you. Oh, you may not write it down for others to hear, but God gives it to you just when you need it to go forward. In Acts 16:25-26, it tells us at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so great that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. If you want new doors to open, sing at the midnight hour. There'll be times when Satan will try to steal your song. When singing praises is the last thing you feel like doing, it's probably just what you need to do. Psalms 13:6 says, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." It's during these hard times that you can teach your children the song of salvation and deliverance. Those 7 years I listened to my grandma singing and declaring the word of God taught me volumes. Let me say this, sometimes on Facebook, Kayla, I see you a lot of times on Facebook and your children singing songs. You're doing your homework. It's not just here at church. When you leave, you're still teaching your children to praise God. And you're teaching them faith by what you're singing. This is real. This is our lifestyle. Rarely do I get in the car with Rachel when one of the kids aren't singing a song that they learned. Little Hudson, from the time he was just real little, I'd get in the car and he'd be singing one of our church songs and rarely miss a word. And I remember when I led worship when Parker was little, he was just probably 2 or 3. And one day he said, "Nona, I've got a new worship song for you. I wish we'd sing in church." And I said, "Well, honey, what is it?" And he said, "It's Save Big Money at Menards." I know you all know the jingle, so. But one day, those 7 years I listened to my grandma singing, and I took it all in. One day, I heard her talking, and she was talking about my mother's situation, and she was declaring the word of God. And she said, "Jesus, this is unacceptable." Afterwards, an older man who was full of the word of God came to the hospital and prayed for my mom, explaining the Lord had sent him. I was 13 years old, and my dear mother has only been in the hospital twice since then, and that's the last 18 months with hip replacements, and one other time for one night when she had a minor car wreck for them to observe her, and that after all these years, that man prayed for her, and that's the miracle. You just keep praying. God hears. Sometimes it's a trial. And you know what? Those years, I feel like a grandma and a mother to so many, and I'm proud to have that. But I look back, and when I was a child, I felt like I never hardly had a childhood because I was the oldest, and I had to be a mother then. But God puts you in training for the positions you're going in, and he makes no mistakes. I know to my children, I remember difficult times in their lives when they thought I wasn't listening, but God was giving them their song for that time. And teenagers, mama always hears. That's all I'm going to say. I remember Rachel having a BB and a CC wine and cassette that she played over and over. When she was 16 and Jeremy was 14, they were on their way to Rosemond to school and hit black ice at the top of the hill north of here on the Tower Hill blacktop. A lot of you remember that. They rolled their blazer 3 to 4 times and it was totaled. Afterwards, I remember Rachel saying, "Mom, we were listening to the BB and CC singing about how glad they were that they had one another when we were going up that hill." Parents, make sure your children have Christian music CDs of their own to strengthen their faith. It may not be your style, but it's their song. And a good suggestion is Christ Tabernacle's new CD. If you say, "I just can't sing," then buy some CDs. You can still sing. It might be in your heart, but you can sing. But let positive music fill your house. There are many beautiful, innocent love songs in the world that we all know. However, the songs we dwell on the most should be our love songs to our Savior. If you feed off songs like "Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me Down," I promise you'll stay down. And I remember a difficult time also in Pastor Jeremy's life when I heard from his room over and over a Kirk Franklin song. "I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus, I can make it. With him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands." I also remember times when songs fit certain situations that were kind of funny. One time we were in Gatlinburg, and we were on vacation, and we'd sit down at a pizza place, and I can't even remember they brought us the water or whatever, but we sat there 10 or 15 minutes. And my husband says, "This is ridiculous. They haven't taken our order. We're just going to leave." The patient man he is, can you imagine him saying that? And anyway, we got up to leave, and there was a song that was playing. It was, "If You Don't Think I'll Go, Just Watch Me." And he said, "Do you hear that song?" And one Easter, I was in the car, and I was practicing a song we were learning in choir for the time, "Arise, My Love," for Easter Sunday. And the kids got kind of in a spat in the back, and I can't remember which one of them it was that said it. Maybe that's good. But anyway, they got mad at the other one, and they said, "Arise, my dummy." And there's rarely a time that I don't hear "Arise, my love" that I don't think of "Arise, my dummy." So different situations, God gives you songs, and that was a good time. That was a good song for me to remember. My first text message I received Monday morning reconfirmed what God had been speaking to me. It was from a beautiful, busy young mother, and it read, "I just woke from a weird dream. In it, you told me, I said something about searching for something lost or trying to find something." And immediately, I knew what I had been working on and what the Lord was speaking. I explained she was so busy, I knew she didn't have time to study and read like she did when we first met and when she first came to church. And I knew the devil wanted to steal her joy and her song. The last 10 years, I've had to fight for my song, harder than I have had to fight for it in my life. The odd thing is, I didn't realize it for years that it had been taken, until one day I realized I never even listened to music on my own unless I was forced to. It seemed to connect me to the loss of the man, my dad, who first helped teach me the value of a song. Hurtful situations had taken my song and joy. But you know, sometimes you just have to throw back your head and sing and defeat that spirit. I have found if you put on Christian music when you're down, if you're fighting a depression or fighting fear, that those spirits leave. Anyone else ever felt that? And I don't know why, but when you're down, you usually don't want to do that. Well, I do know why. The devil doesn't want you to do that. You know, in the Bible, when Saul would be troubled, he would have David come and play to calm his spirit. And music is that important. Like I said, I didn't know if everyone would understand this, but you know, music's a big part of our worship here. It's praise. It's from our heart. And it doesn't matter if you might have the most beautiful voice or not. God's not into that. He's like from the heart, like for my dad, the way he was when he'd sing from his heart. That's what he's looking for. It doesn't matter if you're on perfect pitch or not, unless you're singing for Brother Keith. But that's good too, because you wouldn't want to hear it otherwise. But I want to encourage you today to get that song in your heart, the song of salvation that he gave you when you were born again. He put that melody in your heart. Satan was a choir leader in heaven. He has a song too. He will try to drown out your Creator's song with busyness, cares of this life, loving this present world, and its popular opinion. He's tried these tactics on me many times, and unfortunately, he has succeeded at times. Suddenly, you'll realize I've lost something. But Jesus is as near as the mention of his name. I'm a testimony Jesus can restore your joy. There seems to be a connection between your joy and singing. The Word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Psalms 149:5, it says, the Word says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. So when your kids at night, they're not going to sleep and they start singing loud, you can't rebuke them because they're obeying the Bible. But I thought, now how many people lay down and sing loud upon their beds? Usually we're so exhausted, that's it. But it also says to sing aloud in the morning. David said to sing aloud in the morning. Psalms 59:16 says, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. The judge Deborah in the Bible, she had a song. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a joyful song while visiting her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. She was giving God praise for choosing her to be his handmaiden. How much more should we give him praise for choosing us by singing a joyful song? When the Israelites left Egypt, they had a song. Exodus 15:1 says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. And you know, this morning we were singing a song, I can't remember which one, and I thought, it sounds like Moses' songs. It was singing about God being victorious and great. We're still singing about his greatness. Moses did. He taught us how. But we are still singing that song. And what's remarkable is that song will be sung in heaven one day. Revelation 15:3 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are their ways, thou King of saints. I want to be in that choir singing that song. That's what I work for all my life, is to be in that choir and to sing around the throne. But we have a song that even the angels can't sing because we are redeemed by his blood today. The last hour of my dad's life, he was listening to Gaither music. And he had his earphones on and his CD player. He died with them on. And he was either listening to a sermon of Bishop or Pastor Jeremy preaching. I'm not for sure which one it was. And he had bought these special earphones. I think it's the first time he'd used them, my mother said, just so he could have private worship and prayer time. My mother was in the next room. But you know what? She heard him when he fell. But what I am thankful for today is he died with his song in his heart. And that's the way I want to go. I want to have a song in my heart. You know what? When you murmur, Bishop said that one time, murmur, when you murmur, it sounds like the word, murmur, 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 murmur. And how much better to have a song than to be griping, right? But he had a song in his heart. And I know his prayer was that he had deposited in his four children the source of his song. What kind of song will your children remember you singing? Will they remember the presence of the Lord in your home with love, joy? or a home with contention, strife, and confusion. To have perfect harmony in your life, you need to have a deep relationship with Jesus, or something's missing. You can make that new commitment today, and you'll get a song in your heart, or a new song in your heart. Maybe you need today Jesus to restore the joy of your salvation. I cannot answer that question for my kids, what kind of home that they'll remember. It's their story to write one day, and their song that they will have to sing in their heart. Maybe there's a single mother here today who needs new strength and new joy. Jesus knows every hurt. I was reminded yesterday, and I had a picture of this, but it didn't show up. I'm sad about. While I was preparing my talk, I was reminded how much Jesus cares. We have this fake palm tree on our back porch, and in the summer, I light it up and pretend like I'm at the beach. And of all places, a robin had laid eggs in that fake tree. And I was kind of aggravated about it. They always get my plants, and then, of course, you're not going to hurt their nests and hurt the babies. But yesterday, there came a really bad storm, and I rarely get real scared in storms, but it was really bad, and I had spent days cleaning up my back patio out the deck, and I scrubbed down the furniture and got out things, and the furniture just blew everywhere, and all the cushions blew everywhere, and I was just sick watching it. But as I looked closely out the bay window, I noticed the little robin that I had been watching feeding three little moths, and it was over her babies. And her feathers were like this, and she had covered them. And that's the way we mothers like to do. We like to shelter our children. But Jesus said, if in his word, in Psalms 91:4, David said, "He shall cover thee with thy feathers, and underneath his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler." If we could only trust him like the baby birds did their mother. In a few moments, I heard the sound of a happy, tweeting bird with no worries. And she was probably singing to her babies and to her Creator. Maybe today, you're full of fear for the future. If you'd like to stand, you can stand. You might be full of fear. And mothers, you don't realize it, and fathers, but when you sing of God's faithfulness, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord," you're leaving a witness for your children, and you are sending fear away from their little hearts, and you're putting faith in there. You know, today, you might need joy. I'm going to open this altar right now. Maybe there's a weary mother here. You might need joy, or maybe you just need to feel the Father's love. You might need a warring song today. Maybe you're fighting for lost children. Or maybe there's something that all mothers hate, and that's division in the family. And maybe you need to say what my grandmother said: "This is unacceptable. I'm not going to receive this, Satan. This is not of God, and I will not receive it. I'm going to war for my family." And the Lord will give you the song to war and the words to say. Maybe you just need a song for your situation just right now. Maybe you need a new song. Maybe you're fighting depression or fear or whatever. If you'd like a new song today, I want you to come forward. I know this is Mother's Day, but mothers and fathers and whoever, if you need something special from the Lord and a new song for a situation you're in, come down as we sing this.